The Hebrew Bible lesson is from the book of Hosea, chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 787. The book of Hosea is an interesting prophecy about the nature of God. And it begins with unfaithfulness in marriage, comparing the relationship of marriage to God's relationship with Israel. Verse 2. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. Then the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them. But I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ammi, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can be neither measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Children of the living God.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today, as we continue on with Paul's writings to the Colossians, which can be found in your New Testament on page 189, we'll be starting at chapter 2, verse 6 through 19. Hear these words. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in the matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come. but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. The word of God for the people of God. We turn to our gospel lesson, which was Luke's writings on the gospel according to Jesus. That's on page 67 in the New Testament. We'll be starting at chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Hear these words. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to a time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God. Well, I don't know about you, but I find it very, very encouraging that one of the disciples came up to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray, Lord." I know there are some strong prayer warriors in this church, but I also know for some of you, sometimes for me, prayer is a mystery. We feel confused by it. We don't know how to do it. We feel inadequate. There's always something getting in the way. So I wanted to talk a little about prayer and maybe some basics and how we go about it and the reason why we're doing it. So God created you for a relationship with him, and God longs to chat with you. Prayer is having a conversation with God. Conversation is dialogue, not a monologue. When two people are in dialogue, they want to speak and be heard. Both people draw joy from this interaction. The same is true of your conversations with God. Have you ever had a conversation when squeezing a word into the conversation was as hard as pushing a watermelon through a keyhole? When you converse with God, allow him to comment on what he has heard. Ask him questions and then listen for an answer. God responds to our prayers in many ways, and God talks to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an Alfred to your Batman. He is more like a battlefield medic, always nearby with words of comfort and plenty of bandages. When you bring your questions to God, you hope for answers. The helper is with you and you to help you hear and understand God. Let's not forget it. The Spirit's in us. He's there. He's our helper. The Apostle Paul described the Spirit mission. He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. God talks to you in prayer through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps the light bulb of comprehension to glow brightly above your head. So, in your insert, there's a little sheet of paper that has the word Acts written down on the left-hand margin vertically. I want everybody to pull that out. If you have a pen or a pencil, a crayon, a child next to you that's coloring, take something so you can write on this and just kind of follow me along on this. I am not saying this is the way that you should pray. I'm saying this is something that I use for myself. It's kind of a discipline thing. It helps me focus and center myself before the Lord. So, we'll start off with the letter A. Letter A stands for adoration. God is our friend, but God is also holy. Sometimes we don't come to God in a reverent way. When you pray to the Father, you are praying to one whose wholeness cannot be contained, but who is as close to you as your skin. And hallowed be your name, Jesus said as the first petition, that we should be praying that God's name be hallowed, that God be regarded as holy. I mean, God's amazing, amazing. He's holy, holy, holy. He's the maker of the universe. He knows the ending from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. That's quite a paradox. You have this almighty God, and yet he wants to be your personal friend. So we need to put ourselves in reverence before the Lord, respect his position, respect our position before the Lord, and bring and go to him that way. C stands for confession. When you look at the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Have you really thought about that statement? And the Lord's Prayer that we use here is this, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Have you thought about that statement? You know, it's kind of like saying, forgive and be forgiven. Or be forgiven by the way you forgive. You know, confession, when we came to Christ and we confessed we were sinners and we asked for repentance and forgiveness, you know, that's confession. That's how we got started on this path. You know, but it's not what we Christians do every day. It's not like we're confessing for our salvation every time we confess our sinful nature. You know, our insurance is grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's not what confession stands for. It's getting yourself right. It's about relationship. It's about putting yourself in front of God the way He wants you to be in front of Him. To be truly forgiving like He is forgiving. T is for thanksgiving. We have many, many things to be thankful for. Excuse me, I'm a little askew up here. One of the first things, you know, when I look at Colossians and we look at the verse 6 as it starts off, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, root and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. You know, that's something to be thankful for. Sometimes I don't think we thank Him enough for that. You know, and you move down and Father in Colossians, it says, God made you live all together with Him. When He forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. We need to do that. We need to keep focus on that. It helps us with our walk. It shows us that we're children of God, that we have Christ living in us. Even when you look at Luke, thanksgiving, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's like the greatest gift of all. You know, first we have God the Son, Jesus, dying for our sins, and then here's God, the Holy Spirit, being placed into us when we come in right relationship with God. Give thanks. The S stands for supplication. And I think in the Holy Prayer, I kind of look at the give us each day our daily bread. It's kind of a supplication. Prayers of supplications are prayers of petition, intervention, prayers of our needs, for the church needs, for the nation's needs, you know, and in here, when Jesus is talking about bread, He's saying bread is what you need physically, intellectually, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. Pray for the needs, not the wants of life. It is too easy to be distracted from what's important. So this is the little thing that I use every day. Well, that's kind of fibbing. I don't use it every day, but it's kind of the discipline that I've kind of gotten a habit of praying. I just wanted to speak about one thing about prayer. There's many, many barriers to prayer. But I think, as like C.S. Lewis writes in Mere Christianity, he has a chapter called The Greatest Sin. And the greatest sin, according to C.S. Lewis, is pride. And think about it. Think how pride gets away with everything. I mean, if you're a prideful person, you're not going to do adulation to God. You know, because in your mind, you're a God to yourself. And if you're a God to yourself, why do you have to confess? There's nothing to confess about. You're doing it by your own means. And if you're doing it by your own means, there's no thanksgiving. But it seems like with pride, when it comes to supplication, then we go to God and we think, God will give me whatever I want. All I have to do is ask. And then we start treating God like a vending machine. You know, let me put my request in, Lord. Cha-ding. And then we're disappointed because we misunderstood. We misunderstood that God wants relationship with us. He wants us to do His will. And when we get those things aligned in our lives, He can use us for His purpose and His purpose that He has for us. And then we can stand before God and say, Lord, hear our prayers. Incline your ear our way. We can be bold about it and ask Him to grant us His peace. Amen.